Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Thank you.
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 4, the truth of material creation. Vritti, the non-difference of the senses and the intelligence from the Lord is further illustrated with an example in the next Anucheda. Anucheda 73. An example of a shelter and the object of a shelter is distinguished by the amsha from the substance acting as the shelter is given to make things clear. Right? Because you have something that gives shelter to other things. Right? So then you have the substance itself and then a part. So then you also have the shelter and then what is sheltered. Does that make sense? Because the Lord, He shelters the living entities. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord. So then you always have this aspect of shelter. Because we're not necessarily used to thinking of this concept of shelter. It means it's there, it's obvious. But we don't necessarily bring it to the forefront of our mind. Because if we do, that's a prominent thing, then the point is since we're not in control of things, then that, what's our shelter? But we want to claim that we are the Supreme. We're giving shelter, if we want to be nice. But, you know. But the whole point comes down is the material world is sheltered by the Lord. It all goes back to, it means if you have Shakti, you have to have Shaktiman. You know, just like in science, they're all talking about Shakti, the energy. They talk about the whole universe as energy. They don't talk about it as anything else. But you see, is they don't talk about that this energy has a shelter, you know, other than their mind. You know, that you could say, yes, then they have a shelter in the mind and all that. So then,
What's the importance of this shelter?
Because it's Krishna.
With God, that's normal.
Yes, but with everything else is a shelter. You know? Everything else has that aspect of shelter. Yes.
So basically, the scientists, they say that the matter shelters itself.
Yes, but at the same time, if you say, well, no, it is sheltered in God. Okay, well, what's God's shelter? No, He's the shelter. That's the whole point of God, is He is His own shelter. Oh, that doesn't make sense. But if you say the Shakti is the shelter of itself, oh, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that there's not a proper logic to how they're thinking and everything like that. Because shelter, everything has to have a basis, just like we're sitting on the floor. You know, if we're just floating in the space, it doesn't work as well. You know? Does that make sense? So everything has a shelter. Like you put something down, you want to see that it's solid. It has a shelter there. Otherwise, it might fall over or different things. So always the point is that there's something that is being sheltered. Right? So there's the shelter in what's being sheltered. Because there's Krishna and His energies. Everything will go back to this principle. There's Krishna and His energies. Right? And then Krishna has these three features. So therefore, His energies have these three features. Because everything's coming from Him. Right, but in the modern context, we don't think about that. You know, it's just like the people. Yes, the people will run everything, and we'll make it all happy. Okay, but the whole point is you're running it. But where's the that endeavor that you're doing? Where's that shelter going, where is it, what is it sheltering? These things won't be thought. You know, we'll go down, blow up some things, burn down some things, and then suddenly everything will work perfectly. Right? Isn't that how it works? You know? Like in your house, something goes wrong, you get angry, you know, you kick a hole in the door, you know, you throw a pot across the room and it smashes and stuff like that, and then after that everything's perfect in the house, right? You know? You don't have to clean up, you don't have to... You know, so that's the difficulty, is that due to ignorance we don't actually think of things as they are. You know, so people are the government's not taking care of us. So that means then they need to be sheltered. Right? And so then being sheltered, then the problem comes up is that, okay, if they're sheltered, then the shelter has to be acting in a particular way so that one feels sheltered. Right? But then in dealing, then they're going to not give, they're not going to themselves act. No, we're in charge, but they won't give shelter. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like your typical, one of your, you know, how you say, most typical meaning in the way of, you know, textbook. You know, unfolding is, you know, the you know, like, how you say, the French Revolution. It's like, you know, then they catch everybody, you know, that's in government and just cut off their heads. And now everything runs perfect, right? How that means, you know, how that works, nobody knows, but there's always that illusion because they're not understanding the shelter and the sheltered. Right? So it's Krishna and his energy. So there's all, that principle is always there because of that, we were saying, because of the Satkaryavad, cause and effect. So because the effect means it's latent in the cause, but it becomes manifest. Right, so that's what an effect is. So they're not seeing that. No, but it has to be in that. So because they have a, you know, how you say, they're establishing a governance by revolution, then that means any problem that comes up, that means that governance then harbors as its, how you say, amsha is revolution. Right? So therefore, you see, it's a constant thing that whatever's in government, they're always worried that the other somebody else will come along and get rid of them. Because they don't give shelter, then they can't expect shelter. Does that make sense? So it works. It works very nicely. You know, you have it when you get down to morality, is then do unto others as you would do unto, like this and that kind of context, like that is. And what you do, that's what then creates an effect. Does that make sense? So it's a very major aspect, but we don't necessarily take it very seriously because we're always trying to be the Lord of the shelter, even though we're not, we're energy. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the Bhagavatam, it is also explained that, you know, the 10 topics, one is the shelter.
Right.
And the 9 are the sheltered. And the 9 bring us to the 1, which is the main topic of the Bhagavatam. Actually, it's Krishna as an ashray.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting how when the Bhagavatam starts, actually the narration, not just the, means not the opening of the opening. You know, I mean, the Bhagavatam being discussed starts at that second canto. But, and so, because the question of the sage was how did the Bhagavatam come to be spoken? So the first canto establishes that. But you see, is that where you start seeing things, where the pastimes that start to be explained, that will be, it starts with Uttara. You know, so immediately you see is going to Krishna for shelter. That's interesting. Okay.
Nice. If we have to accept the principle of the shelter, and to be sheltered means we are to accept that we are a person. If we don't accept the personal aspect, the shelter doesn't mean.
Yeah, then there's not. Yeah, there's nothing.
No.
Yeah, because that's the alternative. Because as we see is that, as it's been mentioned, that Haribol. Oh yeah, maybe put out a few more blankets, because otherwise, then it seems to be getting more and more, which is not a bad thing. You need more blankets. Just put them over on that side, you know, like behind there where you're going to sit there. no, there and there, that corner and this back corner. Sorry? Don't worry about the mat, just put the blankets. So then, yes, so you're going to have that you have the concept of karma, you have the concept of jnana, and then you have the negative, the opposite of that. Right? So these are the positions that we'll use. The mental platform, the intellectual platform, and then the negative platform.
Yes.
You'll always see is that the mentality will always be
yes.
in one of these three or a combination.
Yes.
Does that make sense? But you see is you don't want to open it up fully, like just open, like people can just like go for it. And then you put one this side? You don't have, not all the way down, back there. Yeah, like that. Aesthetics has to be learned.
Yes. For giving shelter.
Sorry?
For giving shelter.
Yes, yes, for giving shelter, right. Okay. So we're good on that? Because it's a main principle.
Yes.
So as you see, it goes back. But shelter now. So what does this mean? So as we're getting closer to what?
We are sheltered.
Yes, we are sheltered. So that means then.
We are not God.
Yes, and so therefore we should
serve.
Yes, that. So that's the thing. It's getting closer and closer to this. Because when we. Anucheta 73. An example of a shelter and the object of a shelter, by distinguishing the amsha from the substance acting as a shelter, is given to make things clear. A lamp, the eye that views the light of that lamp, and the visible form that is viewed are non-different from the element light. In the same way, intelligence, the senses, and sense perceptions have no existence separate from the supreme reality, although that absolute truth remains totally distinct from them. Right, so that means that the intelligence, the senses, and sense perceptions. So it means the mind, our samskara, the impressions, all that. Is there? They have no separate existence from then. No separate existence from the supreme reality. It means because if you have a reality and it's reflected, right, then that reflection is based on the reality. So it doesn't have a separate existence.
Yes.
But at the same time is the reality is separate from this, is distinct from them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no how you say? There's no separate existence, but there's a distinction.
Yes.
So that's the point. The oneness means that Krishna and his energies are not separate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. in existence. But they're distinct.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So Krishna is distinct as the supreme spiritual entity. But all other entities are spiritual. So there's non-difference. Yes?
Seems that we discussed it many times, but it never was in that context.
Yes. That's the thing. Everything we do, we've discussed everything here many times from Bhagavad Gita. And then because he's taking it through one by one by this less logical presentation, then we start to catch. Because otherwise, just like we were saying, is that, you know, now that, you know, studying, going through these, the Sandarbha, then you start to notice that basically in all lectures, all purports, Prabhupada's talking about that. But at the time, we wouldn't. We just, oh yeah, that's just the basic stuff the Prabhupada's talking about. But the difficulty is we take, because of our inductive way of thinking, we'll take basis as down, and then you have the main thing. While the actual point is deductive, is the basis is up. Then you come down into various details that manifest and unmanifest according to time. Because we take it that, oh, the principles and the engineer, all that's the main, but then the thing that's made, that's the main thing. But then that will disappear. Like the building is built on engineering principles. the building will disappear. The engineering principles will remain. You know, does that make sense? So that's why, you know, the engineer in the modern context is considered less of a position than the architect. The architects are famous. The engineers aren't. Unless the engineer does architectural work. Right? Then he becomes, but he's famous for the architectural aspect, not for his engineering. They may say his architecture is amazing in its engineering. You understand? So it's just everything gets that kind of, yeah. So you have all these different things as the basis we don't necessarily take as so important here. So then when we start to learn about it, then we take it one by one, because only as you get, so he's perfectly given the order by which, if you want to completely clear, it's like the modern health, the new age health things they call it, deep cleansing and stuff like that, so you have a way you go through it, and then you see it starts to, oh, because like you said, this has always been mentioned. Satkaryavad's always been mentioned. Parinamavad, means about the transformation has always been mentioned. You know, Krishna's energies, everything's been, it's all right there. Bhagavad Gita tells everything. But we'll have a tendency is, yeah, I've heard that. Now let's go on to the, But, that doesn't mean anything. Because if you haven't cleared this, then the other aspects won't actually have any meaning. Because if you look at, let's say, Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan, then the difficulty comes up is if we look at him from the inductive, then it's about us. Right? As we saw that Lord Chaitanya, when he talked to the Tattvavadis, then he said, okay, what's your ultimate goal? And their ultimate goal is liberation. I mean, Vaishnav liberation, but liberation. So the Madhvas, and it's specifically Swarupya. That's the liberation they want. So for them, that's the goal. But the point is after attaining liberation, then you serve the Lord. Right? Because they'll get this form of the Lord in Vaikuntha, and then they'll serve the Lord eternally. So that service to the Lord is actually a higher principle than liberation. But they only see up to that part because of this tendency to think in that inductive way. Because it's about ourselves. We'll look at it from the micro, is it the Vyasti? From ourselves and our perception of how we see. And so God's part of it. But he's part of our perception rather than we're part of his perception. It's like that story when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving lecture and then the artik started. So then one of the devotees got up and went to see the artik, and then came back. He went, take darshan, and came back. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, what did you see? Because the point is that we need to be seen by Krishna. Just because we see it doesn't mean that you get the benefit. It's only when Krishna sees us. So when we act in such a way that he sees us, then you've attained the perfection. Right? So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is discussing how to attain that, and he's leaving that to go, because there's a time for darshan. So it's just a matter of slowly we get purified, so we start to see things from the correct perspective. Because otherwise, before, these would just seem like very technical points, but then you see is there the language in that is being discussed from the platform of jnana. Because if it's not, people don't take it as knowledge, right? It's just like Prabhupada says the same thing, exact same thing, but he uses general words that people use, right? Nothing fancy, right? And or we have these technical translation. And we'll take it that Prabhupada says, it's basic and this is very intellectually advanced, when actually they're exactly the same. So that's why then these technical points are presented through the medium of jnana. So knowledge and detachment, then we'll say, yes, this is the highest. Because in the material platform it is. Just like in the spiritual world, you have the rasas and shanta will be the lowest. You know, I mean, it's all absolute, but still within distinction. And there it's because they see the absolute and they're detached from the material world. That's their thing. They're detached from the material world and they see the everything is absolute in connection with the person. So they're personalists, but their main focus is on the impersonal aspects of that person, how he pervades everything, how he knows everything, like that. So when you have the reflection, that comes through here as the opposite. That becomes the top here. So that's why then the presentation, when it's done in that way, then we'll think it's so, oh yes, yes. So that's why it's presented that way. Then we'll at least respect it as knowledge. But even though Prabhupada's given exactly the same thing, we'll think, oh, that's basic, and I have to go to someplace else to get more knowledge. You know, so you see, it's not an uncommon mistake. You know, it's a very unfortunate mistake. But, you know, people will go elsewhere and think, oh, yes, here's the knowledge. This person knows. Prabhupada just given the basics, and now I'm getting the higher. But they have absolutely no idea how... No, Prabhupada's giving the highest, and all these other more higher, seemingly higher that you're going to, you'll never understand them. And he's like, never. You know? These principles of the spiritual world, they can't. You know, we had one devotee, he left the society to absorb himself in the Sandarbhas. So, intellectually, really smart, he can talk all this, he knows Sanskrit, but as far as understanding the conclusions, he has no idea. I mean, literally, no idea. No idea. He can't distinguish the differences within the spiritual world, the difference between, you know, spiritual and the bond. He can't. Even though he's so intellectual. So that's the point, is people will leave for, they don't get. You know, they leave Prabhupada to go somewhere because someone's talking some higher rasa and so this and that, and they're giving the higher thing. And now all they're left with is politics. I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago we had a devotee here. They would come because they were advised by the authorities in the Mott, don't stay here. You know, go over to ISKCON or someplace else because here it's so political, we don't know what's going to happen. Right? And this is the ones that, you know, it's all about, you know, the higher rasas. And so that's the whole thing, is that it's a major, major, misunderstanding. Is that Prabhupada's given all these things in a very, accessible way. But it's with maturity, then you start to see what he's saying is so important. You know what I'm saying? So that you see, where's the actual flaw? You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, the Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, what is it? Samaveda Yutsava, Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. Well, no, so something, Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So he's asking, so what did they do? Right? So then we'll think, okay, yeah, that's a great question. You know, they went to the battlefield, they asked God. The Prabhupada points out in that, in the Acharyas, is that, why would you ask that question? Prabhupada gives the example. You have a gentleman there, he's hungry, you bring him some nice food, first class food, and then the person asks, so then what did he do? But what do you mean, what did he do? He ate. You know? Because he's worried that, so due to attachment, he wants his sons to be the king. He's blind. He's not supposed to be the king, though he is the king. But he wants his sons to be the king. And so it's simply out of attachment. So he's worried that they might come to a compromise, and then his son won't be the, you know, singular emperor of the world. He'll have to share it with the Pandavas, or they may agree that, okay, Yudhishthira will be the main, and it's his right. And so then Duryodhana will fall. So it's simply his attachment that he's asking this question. Because he doesn't have that, because of this attachment, he's completely bewildered. He knows this, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akura explains to him, you know, what he should do. And he says, I know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know all these things, but out of attachment, my son, I can't function. You know, so it's a very, very important point. But we might just go, you know, go by and just go, yeah, it means, yeah, yeah, so what did they do? So that's the basic aspects is that this principle of that seeing these things. So that's the thing is now he says, oh, that's what they're making the point about. Because it's so simple, the philosophy is so simple. The Krishna is the supreme, we're his part and parcel, we have natural affinity to serve, that's our inherent nature. Service is the principle, like that. So we see is that all the living entities are serving Krishna, right? And in all the rasas, they're serving Krishna. And in all the realms, they're serving Krishna. But we see then when he gets to Braj, then Krishna starts serving the devotees. Because that service is the highest. So we can say, well, why do we have to serve? But the point is, the highest pleasure to Krishna is to serve. So that's why once you know what's going on, then there's Vaishnava Seva. Mm-hmm. You know, in that association you get taste. So that whole principle of appreciating that... that service—that's the inherent nature of the living entity. So when it was asked, well, how do you define the living entity?" And Lord Chaitanya's first statement, he's eternally a servant. That's his dharma. So Prabhupada will explain. That's just, you know, everybody serves. We'll put the emphasis on the guy's got to serve the dog, and you know, why would you want to do that? You could be serving God. But rather than no, the nature of the living entity is to serve. That's the principle that you were trying to get across. The example is not the main point. Does that make sense? So we tend to, because of our tendency towards the inductive, to look at it from our viewpoint rather than that final viewpoint. So, yeah. Yes?
Why should that first finality submission up? It seems that the first part of the verse is the cause and that the Kirtanyasa Dahari is the effect. However, it contradicts the statement that nama has no cause because it's no different.
Yes.
So how can we explain?
So in other words, as you chant, then naturally good qualities develop. So, but as qualities are come up, we also have to take advantage of them. Right? It means you have an opportunity to do something proper. If you know that that's an opportunity, you'll take it. If you don't know, you won't take it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore, if we understand that humility, respect for others, always respecting others, not looking for respect, is the qualities that they use in the spiritual world. Therefore, when the opportunity comes up to use them, we would. Otherwise, we'll think it's not important. You know, I'm a big guy, I'm a run around, I'm senior, I'm this and that, so I don't need to manifest these. So we will see. So then you'll be able to chant, but the point is the person who's able to chant has these qualities. So as we try for, then Krishna rewards. That's why Krishna gives. So it's not a matter of karma. See, karma is that I do the work perfectly, I get the result. So how perfectly the work is, that's how perfect a result you get. Right? Because we're looking at the external form. But it's actually, because it's personal, we're looking at, that's mechanistic. Right? But if you look at the personal side, like the child does something, it's not that it mechanically is not perfect. But the result it gives and experience is much greater than the other thing. And much more lasting. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, okay, you did a particular work, you got a particular result, and there's that moment when you get the result, and there's that happiness. Now, let's say there's a moment where there's an interaction with the child when they do just something, you know, just nice, something nice that it creates an emotional experience. But let's take 10 years, 20 years later, which one will still be have strength? Right? Because the other one may have been very intense, sort of there jumping up and down and rolling on the ground in ecstasy, but because it's mechanical, it can't actually give us ananda, you know, or give us happiness. We've said that if I get this, I'll be happy, but the other is a personal dealing, then it has all these aspects to it. You know what I'm saying? So the personal is stronger than the mechanistic. Does that make sense? You know, when the guys are sitting there, you know, they're, what do you call it, you know, 130 years old, and they're still talking about how, yeah, you know, when we, you know, how you say, landed on the beach, and, you know, in France there on D-Day and everything like that, and, you know, this happened or that, or the guys raising the flag at, you know, Iwo Jima or something. They're not talking about the mechanics of what they're doing. They're talking about the experience that was there. The mechanics goes away because it doesn't really matter. Guys are doing different mechanics. Somebody's doing everything perfectly, he gets shot. You're not doing anything right, and you're not getting shot. So it's about the experience. Is that? So that personal aspect, but we're not, even though that's what we're looking for, somehow or another, we're not looking there. Right? We're looking for, it's like we're looking for cookies, but we will not look in the cookie jar. You know? We'll look under the bed, we'll look under the mattress, behind the pillows, you know, in the windowsill, you know, like that. Check in the trunk of the car, you know, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Just the way, you know, but it says, no, it's in the cookie jar. No, that's too obvious. You know, it's like, so that's why then the jnana, it makes it look like it's work, just like karma. Oh, if I do all this, then I'll get work, right? So that's the whole point, is that it's not the perfection of the mechanics that gets Krishna's mercy. So it's not because I'm perfectly humble, I'm perfectly this, I'm perfectly that, you know? That's why then I can chant the holy name. It's because I'm trying to do that, because that's the instructions. Then I'm able to chant the holy name. So we see is that because you appreciate it and are trying to do it because it pleased Krishna and the Vaishnavas, therefore Krishna gives you the blessing to be able to be humble, tolerant, and be respectful. Does that make sense? So it's still coming from the name. It's still descending. But we're looking at it as a mechanistic when it's personal, not mechanistic. So the personal is you do, Krishna's pleased, and then it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that kind of comes. So all the qualities come with that. Because those are the qualities of the spiritual world. Everyone in the spiritual world is tolerant. Because everyone is unique. So everyone's different. So no one's the same. So personalities is always going to be different. So everyone's tolerant. Because it's all about Krishna. Because what the other person, he may be doing things differently than I would do, but they're doing it to please Krishna. So it pleases Krishna, then why I should be upset? I'll do in what I do. That's how we get individuals, and everybody can do an individual service. So that's why it's not about the, prestige. It's interesting, when you sit for a while, then you cool down, and then you know, when you first sit, blood's moving. I always think you come to the, take the, and then you go, put it all back on. So it's not a matter of prestige. It's a matter of taste. It's a personality. You have a personality, like we were discussing before, is that you have a particular attraction to Krishna. And therefore, there's particular qualities of Krishna, the particular things that one's attracted to. Therefore, there's naturally services you want to do. That's what you're looking for. That's what we're trying to uncover. But when we're looking at, no, can I do this and that? What's my options and all that? It's a matter of, it's about yourself. It's about prestige. It's not about Krishna. It may be in connection with Krishna, but it's not actually about Krishna. Because it's about my benefit. Because the other is that this is just what you want to do for Krishna. That's how you spontaneously react. And because it's Krishna's the center, all contradictory qualities are resolved. Therefore, all the different rasas that don't necessarily get along with each other, right? Because Rupa Goswami explains which ones are friendly, which ones are neutral, and which ones are inimical. Like conjugal and parental are inimical. Because as far as parental is concerned, Krishna is just a little boy. Right? So how would he be interested in the girls and all that? So you can't manifest anything like that. Does that make sense? So then that becomes, it's inimical. But the point is the parental then calls the conjugal to cook for Krishna. And then they serve Krishna under their direction. So then all these things become perfectly resolved because it's about Krishna. So even though they seem to be contradictory qualities, they don't. So that's the whole point, is because it's all natural and spontaneous, it doesn't do. So when you see someone's doing something spontaneous and it's messing everything up, that's not spontaneous, that's called whimsical. Spontaneous means you do the things that actually please Krishna. But when we do, we think spontaneous means do what pleases me. That's called whimsical. It's the difference. I spontaneously do what pleases Krishna. Oh no, you have to be spontaneous. You know, don't hold yourself back. Do what you like to do. But do what you like to do for what? For who? Right? If it's for ourselves, that's not spontaneous. It's whimsical. Because whim means according to your feeling, your desire. But the point is what will be the effect? You're thinking it's for yourself. But the modes of nature, well, you know, they have their idea. We have ours, and the modes have theirs. But when it's about pleasing Krishna, but then how do we know how to please Krishna? From the acharyas. So unless we follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, we will never please Krishna. Right? That's why Krishna is so kind. By the grace of Krishna, he sends the guru. By the grace of guru, you get Krishna. Right? So then it works very, very nicely. So, make sense? Yeah. So therefore, even though it appears, that's the whole perfection of it, that for those who are looking at, have a tendency towards an inductive method, or a mechanistic method, they're still going to try, because they know chanting is the thing, so I will try for these things so I will be able to chant. But for others, they know is that these things come by the Lord's grace, so therefore I submit myself to this process, and by that, Krishna being pleased, I'll be able to follow that process. So, does that make sense?
It means that I accept Krishna as a shelter.
Yes, I accept Krishna as a shelter. Right? Because the other thing is, no, I'm the doer. I'm humble, I'm this and that, then I'll be able to chant. So, but the thing is because we may think like that, but in the beginning, that's fine because that's how we think about everything. So now we've connected our I'm the doer to Krishna. And so it's progressive. But once we get to the point to see is that I'm not the doer, now to think from that angle is not progressive. Right? Remember the other day we were discussing about moving on. You have to go up a step. So one is on one step, and then one puts one foot up on the next step. That next step is being humble and tolerant and everything like that. Like that. So once we come to the point of understanding is that I'm not the doer, that way I can be humble and tolerant. As long as I'm the doer, I never be fully humble and tolerant and everything like that. Then, once I get to that, I don't have to follow that method that I'm mechanistically doing that. I can bring the other foot up. Now I'm on that step. Then I go for the next step. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so then when I just see I'm surrendered to Krishna, because someone who's surrendered to Krishna birth after birth, he doesn't have an interest in dhanam, janam, or sundari. Right? But in the beginning, we will try to get rid of the attraction to dhanam, janam, and sundarim, because then we can surrender to Krishna. So that's the perfect, that's how it's so perfect. This is Lord Chaitanya spoke, because we see he always speaks the essence. You know, it's called the yuga, we need the essence. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So the same one works in both ways. Does that make sense? And so then we're able to get all that benefit. So that means someone on the highest platform, still all of them have meaning to them, and someone on the lowest platform, the other ones have their inspiration to go up. You know, someone on the platform of prema has taste. They are steady. They associate with Vaishnavas. They have faith. Right? So it's all always relevant, but it's just a matter of where your focus is. Does that work?
Yes, thank
yeah?
you.
Okay. Okay. That was Bhagavatam 12:4-24. The lamp, eye, and form are non-different from the light because they are amshas of the element light. Without light, they can't function. They can be there, but if there's no light, they can't function. That means their seeing ability. Mm-hmm. Right? You could say, no, but the lamp is there even without seeing and this and that. Yeah, but how is it there? It's there as fire or as earth. Right? But the ability to see, that's coming from light. Right? And so then, because their umphis is the element light. Right? So, similarly, intelligence and the senses are non-different from Paramatma, Ritat. Moreover, just as the element light is not contaminated by the faults of the lamp or eye, so Paramatma is not contaminated by faults of intelligence or senses. Paramatma is totally distinct. Anyat Tamat. Right? So it's very short anucheda, very exact. But this is because it's been built up all this time that we're willing, by so many other angles, we're willing to accept that Paramatma is beyond. And then you give this exact, because otherwise you say before this point, which just nicely concludes it, then we might come up with other arguments. Right? Different arguments about this and that, or, you know. So once we've shown how the cause and effect, you know, the transformation of the energy, then cause and effect, then we can get this. Now the cause and effect, now we're looking at the shelter aspect. Because we're looking at one thing, achinta beta beta tattva. Right? But then we start with that parinamavad, so that the transformation of the energy. Right? The energy is transforming, not the Lord. But it's said before, the energy is in shelter of the Lord, and he's unaffected, and, you know, he's beyond and all that. But the emphasis is on the transformation of the energy. It's not coming from somewhere else. Right? Then the cause and effect. Right? So then in the cause and effect, then you see how is that happening? Right? It's happening because that effect is already there in the cause. Right? The cause already has all the unksas within it and their nature. And so when one manifests, then you can say that's the effect. Does that make sense? And then, so out of so many qualities, let's say, you know, out of 100 qualities, then you have, or 10 qualities, then one quality is then manifest as a particular effect. But that one quality has so many sub-qualities. So therefore, in that effect, those sub-qualities will be there. So now you can have from that effect, that can be the cause for the next effect that has, you know, one of those or a combination of those qualities. And then it'll go down until it reaches the end of the line, and that's it. Right? So, yeah. Yes?
So can we say that the cause exists on its own, but the effect exists only in the connection to the cause?
Yes. Because the cause is independent, the effect is dependent on the cause. You know? So that's the thing here, is that you pointed out there's that difference, you know, like that, cause and effect, what it is, and then but still the doubt will remain is what, you know, but how is Paramatma not affected by this? And then it's showing, because that's the way the amsha and the whole work. What the amsha doesn't affect. Like that, you know, just like the principle of light is unaffected by the lamp or your eye, or that your eye may be good or not, the lamp may be good or not, but that doesn't affect. Does that make sense? So there's a natural progression, because we're looking here because doubts will all be inductive, realizations will be deductive, right? Does that make sense? Because then we realize Krishna and then see everything from there.
The natural reaction, this is not fair.
But life's not fair. So I say, get with the program. Yeah, because you see, it's all about themselves. That's why it's inductive. You know, it's not fair, meaning it's not fair for me. You know, everybody else, okay, but me, you know, why me? You know? The question is why me, not why all of us? Yeah. Yeah. No? Classic question. Vritti, having explained that the material elements, the senses and intelligence are all real and are natural shaktis of the Lord, right? So that's all been provided before. Next, the difference of the Bahiranga Shakti from the Antaranga and Tatastha Shaktis is described to establish that the Lord is free from the faults of the material world. Right now you establish these principles. We only discuss general concept of Shakti and Shaktiman, you know, but in the way of shelter and all that. Now it'll come into, now what is the difference between these energies? Right? What's transforming? How is that working? Right. Anucheta 74. It was stated that intelligence, the senses, and sense perceptions were composed of the natural shakti of Paramatma. They were also described as having faults because of impurity of matter. Thus, Paramatma, endowed with his Antaranga Shakti and Tatastha Shakti, is also different from the elements which are part of the Bahiranga Shakti. In order that one can give up the covering of the senses, sense perceptions, and intelligence, now they cover the pure jiva. How they cover the pure jiva is described. Buddher, jagaranam, swapna, swapnas, shushuptir, iti chochyate, maya matram idam rajan, naratvam, pratyag atmani. The three states of intelligence are called waking consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. But, my dear king, the variegated experiences created for the pure living entity by these different states are nothing more than illusion. Waking, sleeping, and deep sleep are functions of intelligence. They are illusory states, maya mataram, created by a covering made of maya, of great variety, nanatvam, called vishva, chaijisha, and pragya. Waking, dreaming, and deep sleep.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Like Harika is vishva, tamasa is pragya.
Yeah, but taijisha remains as taijisha. Uh-huh. That's the dreaming. So then the dreaming is to do with what your desires and everything. Wow. Pragya. Imposed, so these are imposed upon the pure jiva, pratyag atmani. Right, so these are functions of intelligence because the intelligence is dealing with the senses. So if you're dealing with the senses directly, that it's dealing the senses indirectly through the mind, through dreams, or then there's just nothing's happening. This intelligence is not functioning. It's in a neutral state. Then that's deep sleep. Yes.
It's interesting, like, when you remove Krishna from the picture, then all you're left with is how the jiva is illusioned by this material energy and these three states, how he functions in.
Mm-hmm.
And the best philosophy that explains that is Buddhism.
Mm.
Because they deal with perception and then, like, no?
Mm.
What is perceived is not different from perceiver.
Mm.
And that's where is the origin of the whole modern medicine, psychology, everything else. And when you see the same thing in the context of matter rather than from the jiva, then it takes, like, everything is, the truth is relative from the standpoint which you take.
Mm.
That is what is the essential principle of Jainism.
Mm.
And that's where all you get from the whole field of physical science, mm-hmm. chemistry.
Mm.
So Adi Buddha and Adi
Jinnah, they come up with all the bogusness. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, interesting. So is that the one was?
Perception is not different.
Non-difference of perception?
From the person who perceives.
Receives it. And the other one?
The truth is relative from the standpoint from which you see.
Okay. Okay, yeah, because that's where the physics come in. That they make that very strong point. So they're Jainists. Jains. Okay. Okay.
Recently, you know.
Recently,
when I was reading the education system, like how it goes.
Okay, then that all came up. Okay. Very good.
Everything comes from India.
Huh?
Everything comes from India.
Yeah, everything comes from India. I mean, it's even all the population around the world comes from, you know, they come back.
And both are from Bihar.
Huh?
Both Buddha and
Jain. Oh, really? Jain's from Bihar also.
Kalki also will come from Bihar.
There seems to be some connection between Kali Yuga and Bihar.
That connection goes to Jarasandha, Magadha.
Oh, okay. But then you also have Ayodhya. At the other end, yes. And then you have this end, you have there, so you have everything.
Just, I didn't catch what was
the... He said Jarasandha.
Wow.
He's also
he's
the king
same. Of the...
He was the king there. Then you go back, then Rama says, so that would be the original. Because that's your Dharma and everything, following the Dharma, and then as you come down in time, then they don't follow the Dharma. You know? So Jarasandha follows part, you know, the religious does his Kshatriya duties, but not actually for a devotional cause, just for himself. Then you see these others. Then it's not in connection with the Lord, and technically, that means it's from the viewpoint of themselves. But that even they themselves don't get any benefit, right? And then you get Kalkia come along and just, you know, destroy everything, so you can start over again because it's gotten so weird. Right? Interesting. Anucheta 75. Paramatma has no contact with the material world, which contains intelligence and senses. Yata jala dhara vyomni bhavanti na bhavanti cha. Brahmani dam tata vishvam avayav yudaya yatat. Just as clouds in the sky come into being and are then destroyed, the material universe with its parts is created and destroyed within Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.26, right? Because Krishna's unlimited, how you say, the Brahman potency, or not Brahman, he means the Brahman itself, then having potencies, but they're latent in the way that they're generic, they're not manifest, right? Like you say, the principle strength, that's impersonal. Because it's not manifest. But when you say Krishna has all strength, you see it's person because it's manifest. Right? So then the Brahman has all these qualities, and it's the shelter of the material energy, the material creation. Because the creation being Shakti, it has to have a shelter. Right? So therefore it shelters on there. And so the example is given, just as in the sky, you have an open sky, but by the potencies that are there, the clouds will be created and then they'll disappear in the same sky. So in the same way as in Brahman, then all the material creation will come up and be created. And at the same time, then it'll disappear again. So, yes. A cloud, which is vapor, and is the transformation of water, heat, and air in the form of wind, becomes visible in the sky with the appearance of its whole form, and then becomes invisible. Right? Because the vapor is there, but when you have the proper combination in the form of wind, then you'll have a cloud. Mm-hmm. But the clouds do not touch the sky. Similarly, the universe, manifest, Udaya, by the glance of the Lord, becomes visible in Brahman and then disappears. After disappearing, it remains in a subtle form, since its cause, endowed with Shakti, to produce the universe remains, right? Because the cause remains. Because we've established that cause and effect. So if you have an effect, that means it's inherent there in the cause. But because it's there, cause is unaffected. Right? You make a pot out of clay. Clay is unaffected. The pot is kept nicely. The pot's broken. It doesn't matter. Clay is unaffected. So the Lord, being the source of it, he's unaffected. Right? Thus it is said, Sato Bhi vyanjaka kala. Prakriti is the material cause. The Purusha is the foundational cause. Time, the indirect cause, is the agitator of Prakriti. I am all three. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.19. Right? So material is the material cause, the Purusha is the foundational cause. Right? So that's going to be there. And then time is the indirect, the agitator of Prakriti. So therefore we can work within time. That's our position. We are instrumental in assisting time, because it says indirect. Mm-hmm. So it's the indirect, and so we can take part in that. Now, a particular transformation happens because we have an interest in it. So in that way, because we have the interest, we can be said, we are doing that, and we are getting the effect. But we mechanically, we're a instrument to the indirect cause. Yes?
We've heard that time is an eternal principle.
Yes.
Well, here, as it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, it's manifested as a lifetime of Brahma. So how can we reconcile? It's an eternal, but it's manifested here as you know, three phases of time.
Yeah. Well, just like the material energies, as Prakriti is eternal, but the particular manifestation is temporary. So in the same way, time is eternal, but then it's functional within the material creation as beginning, middle, and end. You know, then that's going to be only here. Otherwise, in the spiritual world, time just means movement. But there is no past, there is no future, because it's always in the present. Everything's going on in the present. Even here, everything goes on in the present, but we perceive. You know what I'm saying? And we lose, because here it's gone. It's not there, because it's just connected with the material energy. So as far as what's happened goes back into material energy, that's there. It's not lost. But for the particular manifestation, then for us, it's lost with the time. But in the spiritual world, since it's all Krishna and all connected to Krishna, nothing is lost. So you think of pastimes of Krishna yesterday, it's happening now. You think of pastimes of Krishna later in the day, they're happening now. The experience. You understand?
Yeah.
The physical then will happen, you know, in its own time. But the point is it's unaffected by here future comes, you know, when we, you know, how you say? Future and past always come when we don't want it. You want time to go quickly, it goes slowly. You want time to go slowly, it goes quickly. You know. Yes?
As I was mentioning, in the next adhyaya, it comes about two aspects of time. One is the primary and then the secondary. The primary aspect is where it has the aspect of prabhava, means the influence, which means its function is only to assist Lord and his pastimes.
Mm.
So even in the material world, that is how the time actually functions. All the whole setting of Brahma's lifetime, everything is for the Lord to appear at a particular time, perform his pastimes with devotees, and then go back. So that is the main aspect, and the secondary is what called the following, or anuguna. So whenever Lord is performing pastimes, or then all the people according to their modes, how they function within this time frame, is how the time controls the secondary actions through the three modes.
Okay, so then through the three modes. Is that you heard?
Yeah, I got the main idea.
Yeah, because it says, what is it? Kabab.
Kababam.
Kababam. It means it's giving influence. And so it's just influencing, you know, to create pastimes of the Lord. So it's all part of, it will be part of that aspect of Yoga Maya where she's creating the, but it'll be connected with the Samvit. You know, so that's why then naturally when we're going to assist in there, because we're also expanding from the Samvit. So naturally ours is the assistant in the activities, and that's based on qualities. You know what I'm saying? So that line there, then that's our nature, where we go. And so then that influence, but here so is for the Lord's pastimes. Material world's for the Lord's pastimes, because the idea is it's a pastime of the living entity who wants to be separate from Krishna. They get the opportunity to be separate. Then they're, by the Lord performing his pastimes, by the devotees coming, at some point they become, they get the agyata sukriti until they come to the point of devotion. Then in that way, then they move forward and then they go back to Godhead. So the Lord coming to perform his pastimes with the devotees, that's the real reason he comes. That's the real influence on the material world. So that's the primary aspect of time. So even that's functioning here. The secondary will be how it functions on everybody else through the modes of nature. How they're reacting with Krishna coming here and performing his pastimes based on primary time, how they're interacting with Krishna and his energies based on the secondary time. You know, it means past, present, and future through the modes. You know, because ignorance will be past, passion will be future. So.
But the doubt is that, like you explained, you contemplate on the pastimes in the past with Krishna, and it's eternal.
Yes.
You perform the pastimes now with Krishna, it's eternal. And then in the future, you contemplate, it is eternal. But if we take, for example, material object, it's, you know, in the mind, it's the same. My experience is right now, but I think about past, what happened to me as a metta with some material object.
Yes, but you can't interact with it. But the other, you're dynamically interacting with Krishna, because he's absolute. So in here is because the energy, this manifestation, being under the modes, it's not absolute. So while if you're dealing with that in connection with Krishna, then it's absolute. Then you're dealing with real time. So because it's Krishna's energy, then there's always going to be, just as in everything, there's a primary and secondary. So then in the same way, as then the action itself has the primary and secondary. So primary being in connection with the Lord and his will, and the secondary being for living entities outside of that. They'll still work within the context of how Krishna gives, how the modes work and everything works. What's being, you know, it's just like things change so much. You know, it's just like how people thought, let's say, you know, in 2019, they're not necessarily thinking like that now. It's just like overnight things just change. That's the modes of nature. You know, it's just like you can, you know, in history, you can go back and, you know, and this decade people did this, and the next decade they did this, and that's just the modes. It just goes, and at one point just changes. So now that we're going into the 20s, I don't know if they'll be roaring like the last ones, but, you know, if you go back the century before that, they weren't so roaring either, so like that. But anyways, you just see is that they have a natural kind of mood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about being wild and free, doing whatever you like. You know, it's all about self-centered. That's what it was 100 years ago, right? And when did that come? Right after the big, pandemic, the Spanish flu. So it's just the stuff. You know, it's just the way things work. Probably if you go back and check after the bubonic plague, then you know, same kind of thing. You know, they went nuts during the bubonic plague. So it's just. It's just the modes just change, and then that's the way it goes. You know, so people are working within that context. So those, therefore, the devotees don't have to be affected by that. That's why they can work under the primary time, not under the secondary. But we're thinking, no, it has to be. No, it doesn't have to be. The modes still function because everything works by that, and that's Krishna's direction. You know, so it's just it just becomes the external energy acting under Krishna's direction rather than the internal. So the quality of it is not as good as the spiritual world. You know, it's just like the glass and the diamond. You know, the quality of the spiritual world is just so much better. You know, the quality of energy is superior, while here it's inferior. But it still acts within that method. Here it's just the modes make everything happen. While in the spiritual world, then it will be, you know, as we said, the main influence will be the Icha Kriya and Jnana. You know, and then the shelters of that, applying that will be the internal, external, and tathasta, right, as they're talking now. And then the anubhava, you know, the mood of that inspiration, that'll be the sandini, samvit, and hladi. And so all those three have their natural position in the spiritual, but they also, all those three all affect the material world and the jiva. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of if you want to work under the Lord's internal potency, you'll get that effect. But it doesn't mean the mechanics aren't the same. We'll say, no, but it goes on, because it's the same mechanics. It's just here it's mechanistic because you don't see the Lord. But if you see the Lord, then you won't say that. Does that make sense? Because as soon as you say, oh, it's still going on, that's mechanistic. It's going on because that's how the Lord's arrangement is there. His the transformation of his internal potency is the external potency, then it functions in the same way. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the guy's riding down the road on his motorcycle and he looks normal. When he suddenly bursts into flames and all that, he's still going down the road on his motorcycle. Right? It doesn't change. It still works in the same way. It's not that it turns around or he's now upside down or he's going sideways. No, the gears still work the same. Throttle's still on the same side. It's all the same. No? Yeah? Okay.
It's also the aspect of the consciousness of the jiva, how he applies then what defines whether it's material or spiritual.
Yes.
So that we have seen in the earlier adhyaya also that.
Yes, the consciousness of the jiva. So that'll define which it is, because it's always spiritual, but it's just a matter of how we're perceiving it. Are we perceiving it according to are we perceiving it according to Krishna's position or the mundane? Like that. So that's all. Like that.
Again, regarding time. Everything in the spiritual world happens in the present. So does it mean that all pastimes are simultaneously happening and they never stop?
No, there's all variety is there. They may be always going on that way. That's going. Point is that, but anything done by Krishna is always going on. Here we have that mechanically working like that. But there it doesn't matter. What's the point? What does it matter?
Trying to understand that.
No, but what are you trying to understand?
A certain particular pastime, because there's no time, like as in beginning or end.
What mechanically are you trying to understand here?
Actually, I was trying to understand how then Vipranamba works in the spiritual world, because then you need to have idea of the past, that once you were together and then...
There's an influence of the past, but there is no past, because when they think of Krishna, then they're with Krishna. Otherwise, why is Vipralamba giving such a intense ecstasy if it's not you're with Krishna? Does it happen just, you know... You understand? Yeah, so they're going to meet Krishna, it's the same. Because Vipralamba means you haven't been with or you're going to meet, but you're not with. Does that make sense? So that's the question you should ask. The other one, see, this is completely different from the question you asked. I mean, like, night and day would be a generalization. Because the other one is arguing over it's logical and all that, and it's all based on this. And this one, then it's in the opposite way. So you always have to be, know what you want to ask. Otherwise, then I will answer the question. You won't be satisfied. Because why? Because you never ask your question. What question you asked was not your question.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Vritti. The independent position of the Lord is illustrated with an example in the next Anucheda, Anucheda 76. Wow, even shorter. An example is given to explain that the cause continues to exist. O King, the cause of the universe is said to be factual, just as threads of a cloth exist even without the cloth. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.27. The cause of all gross objects, sarva vayavinam, is said to be real. This is seen in the world. Threads exist without the gross form, vina artena, of the cloth. Right, so threads are there even though there's no cloth. Yes.
So they're still arguing with the Vartavadis? That's the point? Because they say that if Brahman transforms, that he's not there anymore, so it's all illusion?
Both the Vartavadis and Arambavadis also. Oh. The next Anucheta mentions that. Final conclusion. What are the exact fallacies of this?
Yeah, because it all goes back to means, as we said here, as he pointed out, is that everything's coming out, all these funny perceptions are coming out of Buddhism and Jainism. And so that will come across as the Mayavad. Because you find a Brahmavadi is actually understanding Brahman, but they don't know beyond Brahman. So they can't get actually to Shanta Rasa. You know, the Paramatma, they're worshipping with that, but it'll be considered the Haranyagarbhis. Right, they're worshipping on that level, but they don't actually understand. So unless you understand Bhagavan, you don't actually understand the Lord. So even though they're working on the spiritual platform, they're not devotees. Even though they're dealing with the Lord, interacting, meditating, they're not technically devotees. Till they accept Bhagavan, because devotee is means the devotee of Bhagavan. Then these other features may be prominent, just like we see in Shantaras. Then the prominence is there of the absolute truth. They're worshipping the Lord as the absolute truth, but it's the person who's the absolute truth. Or we see, is like it mentions the Yadavas, then in Dwarka, they're seeing him as Paramatma. You know? But he's the person, but the Paramatma feature of him, how he's the Lord controlling it, because they're the demigods. So that's going to be the prominent element for them. Right? And then you see it in Braj, then it's going to be the person. Bhagavan is the name. The Bhagavan's there all the way through, but it'll be Bhagavan with Shanta, Bhagavan with the Paramatma feature, and Bhagavan is Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So, yes.
Though the standpoint of modern people is Buddhism and Jainism, with Buddhism, automatically the impersonalistic Vedanta has to go hand in hand, because then they have to establish at the same time that they are the supreme.
Yes,
so everything
yes.
is like, no?
Yes, yes, yes.
And at the same time, Jainism has to go hand in hand with the Vaisheshikavad, because then you have to explain the metaphysics of how the Prakriti works. Mm. So that's why Arambavad connects there more. And then.
Okay, and then you get... Yes, so basically you get everything, whatever goes on in, you know, at all times, but especially Kali Yuga. Because all these philosophies will be there at all the ages. But it's just in the other ages, they're very minor.
So you can say that soft scientists, they are Mayavadis, and the hard ones, they are...
Yeah. Are Vaisheshikas. Yeah, basically. And that's on a good day.
Theoretical physicists.
Yeah. Yeah, because when he made that point, I mean, of anything that you can remember specifically, you know, the in other words, the impression or the samskar of nuclear physics was a devotee from the MI in Bombay describing physics. He came for the festival because they used to come and like that, and afterwards he was taking prasad, and he was talking about this, how it's, you know, this way, is it one, you know, how many cups are here? You know, you have the clay cup and that, you know, you're sitting there. You know, like that, and we'll say, oh, one cup there. No, there's unlimited cups. There's millions of cups. Unlimited. Every perceives it. Everyone's different how they see it, and all the different things like that. So then, with this, it's just Jainism. But he's thinking it's you know, he's bringing that into Krishna consciousness when he's not. In fact, those guys are still fighting over, you know, who's in control of the BI. Yeah.
The main fallacy, Maharaj, is they accept. Like, no, the Satkaryavad, they try to explain that through the Satkaryavad, the cause and effect are non-different. But the Satkaryavad works only one way, that the effect is inherent in the cause, but the cause is not completely what the effect is, it's different.
It's different, yeah.
So that is the biggest and the straightforward fallacy in there.
And they take it both ways.
They take it both ways, that's why then it's here also. No, it's not here, it's here.
Sure. What is it? Schrodinger's cat?
Schrodinger.
Okay. Yeah.
Alive and dead. Alive and dead.
Yes. Schrodinger's cat. Never heard of that. The theory is you put a cat in a box, close the box. I guess you put some food in there. And then you come after some days. Now, according to the thing, that cat could be either alive or dead. So both are simultaneously going on at once. Because they're not actually practical down like that. You know, it could be either. So until you open the box, then only it's one or the other. Even though if the cat was alive or dead, they were alive or dead before you even thought about opening the box. But because, you know, the theories are all centered on them. When they see that it's now it's dead or now it's alive, when before it wasn't.
And the Buddhist. And that dream.
Yeah. No, I mean, you have those elements. They'll be very similar. It's just where the focus is. It's just where the focus. They're both the same. Just a little focus this way and that. Because they both came from the Lord. One came from the right side. One came from the left side of the Lord. From the lower back. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.